As you can tell, this service is all about light, both receiving and sharing the light of Christ. Again, Isaiah 60 reminds us, arise and shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord rises upon you. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord rises upon you. Earlier, Neil read the summary statement for this Sunday, for Epiphany Sunday. And the next paragraph says this. This story isn't just about a baby born in a stable, or even just about those through whom God has worked throughout our scriptures. It's also a story about us, the bearers of God's light in the world today. On Epiphany Sunday, we are invited to recognize and embrace the light that has come, and to share God's peace, joy, hope, and love in the world. So that's the key right there. That's what we want to focus on this morning, to think more about how the light has come, and we can recognize and embrace it. That's the invitation to us. And then we can shine that for others to see and experience Jesus in and through us. So this past year, somewhere along the lines, I was invited to this one particular practice to try. And it was to try to summarize or articulate the gospel, the very kernel, the core of what we believe, in 15 seconds. I'm not sure, does that sound familiar, Joe, that in one of our meetings? I don't know.
Well, like the elevator speech.
Okay, yeah. So in one sense, we can look at it cynically, like this this canned speech that we give about our faith. But it's really an exercise for ourselves, especially, I think, I take it as, to be able to, like, if we get to the very core of why we say we're a follower of Jesus, what is it? So I tried it this week. And it was an interesting experience. First of all, I wrote it, and I thought, this sounds like it's right out of the Confession of Faith, like very theological. So I thought, it needs more heart. So I did that, but then to try to whittle it down to 15 seconds, it's like I'm throwing out all the heart words, and we're back to those high-powered theological words. Finally, I came to this place of saying, man, this is all about me. Somehow it should describe God's purposes for all of creation. So anyway, this is what I came up with. At least this is how I would say it this particular week of my life. It's probably going to be different in a little bit of ways every week or every month. But God created all of us for communion together in abounding love. I'm united with God through Jesus, who bore the burden of my brokenness for me in death, and he broke the power of sin and death for me in resurrection. In Jesus, I'm set free to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with my God as part of God's eternal plan to renew all creation. So that's how I would say it. It could be as simple as Jesus loves me, right? This I know, for the Bible tells me so. As one theologian, did we ever come up with a name, Marvin? A German theologian whittled the gospel down to that statement. I thought, being a communion Sunday, being the first Sunday of the year, why not speak a bit about what the core of our faith is, what is the gospel, the good news. And I thought Titus 3, the scripture that was read a bit earlier, was at least Paul's attempt to concisely share what he thought the good news was. And so I'd like to do that this morning, just review this particular scripture. And it starts out like this. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. And I think Paul often, it seems to me, when he talks about when we live in darkness, He often kind of has these two broad categories that you can't really split apart. They're really entwined, but kind of for our mind, it splits into two. One is that we kind of get caught up and trapped by things in this life or in this world that ultimately prove to be empty or foolish or unsatisfying or selfish, you know, and it draws us away from the goodness and the righteousness of God. As Paul puts it, enslaved all kinds of passions and pleasures. But then the other kind of broad way that he categorizes our darkness is in terms of relationships. Malice or ugliness towards one another, envy, hating one another. You know, just the brokenness that breaks forth between us, whether it's interpersonal two people or within a family, within a church, within a community, within the world, as we shake our heads of why these wars are breaking out. Again, whether it's between nation or within a family or wherever it might be. But then this is where Paul would talk about arise and shine, our light has come. Because in the next verse, in verse 4, he says, but when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, appeared, that's when the light dawns for Paul. He saved us not because of our righteous things, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. So just that whole idea of the grace of God that's come to us. That's why somewhere in my gospel in 27 seconds, I tried to somehow say the kindness and mercy of Christ has come to me. I've been pardoned. I've been forgiven. And I've been set free to live for him now, to live a new way, all by his grace. And even by his grace, I'm empowered to be an agent of that light, to share that peace and that love and that joy and that goodness with others. But then it goes on, because of this, now there's something at work within me. Like Lois was, I think, a heart light, right? This light that began to shine in Jesus and then it began to shine out in that stable for others to see, and now we're carrying that. But somehow that renewing, restoring presence of Jesus within us that begins to shine. I don't think I read it. He saved us through washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. This past week, I officiated at a memorial service for a woman who was part of my previous church. And somewhere along the line in that week, I was reminded that she had a rough upbringing, that her father was alcoholic, was just angry, and the family grew up in that climate. It just was not an easy family atmosphere to live, to grow up into. I didn't know him back then. I didn't know that. I know her father as when I came to Zion, he was an elder, and he was the most fun-loving, kind, faith-filled man, you know, that I ever met. Like, and when I heard that was his past, I just couldn't wrap my head around that. There's no way. But his story is that renewal and rebirth of Jesus just completely changed his life. And so that's part of this good news as this light, as this, the presence of Christ in us begins to really take effect. So that, it goes on, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs having the hope of eternal life. So as we move forward in life, we're living out of that hope that I'm already living this new life that stretches to eternity, receiving all the inheritance that God has for me. Not the things that this world offers, but the things that God offers as an inheritance. True life. And I'm already living into that. One day it's going to be, you know, break forth in all of its fullness and glory. And so Paul concludes this section by saying, this is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good, the things that are excellent and profitable for everyone. So it concludes by saying, now go and live this new life. Follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Offer God's light, God's love to others along the way. I mentioned again that I was had this officiated at this memorial service. And this woman, Georgine, I said, you know, I used a scripture in that service as well. And it says, when the kindness and love of God appeared, we were saved. And I just made the point, when Georgine showed up in people's lives, their lives were changed. Not that she was the Messiah, but when she became part of people's lives, oftentimes there was something, they were blessed by that. And I just want to have us think about that for ourselves. Our presence, our interactions with people, our relationships with people, when we show up, things change. Just two examples that came out of the testimonials were, one is, she mentored women, and she was part of Freedom Gate Ministries. I don't know, some of you might know that ministry in Reading for ex-offenders that Zion was strongly a part of back in the 70s and 80s. But there was this woman who left the program, left the house in Reading, on the streets, and she had AIDS. And she called Georgine and said she needed help. So Georgine, I guess Georgine's niece went with her, so her niece experienced this, but Georgine went to this woman on the street, bleeding, picked her up and just hugged her and said, you know, you're loved, and we're going to help you, you know. And it just was an example to me of the love of Jesus when we reach out. You know, when we show up in people's lives, they're blessed. Something changes. The other story is, she worked for Boscov's, and she was in risk management. So it's all the complaints, all the people who fall and injure themselves and want to sue the company. You know, that's what she's working with. But her boss said she made it a point to call every one of these people with a complaint so they'd be heard, so that somehow they would know that the company cares about them, and to see how they might be able to help. So those interactions can be a lot more contentious, but when she took part in it, it was more like peacemaking, you know. And so, again, following that theme of today, that as we receive and embrace the light, that light then gets shown to other people and blesses their life and changes their life. So today, first of all, as we go from here, but also think about it in terms of communion, that what we're doing as we come forward, and we're recognizing and we're embracing the light of Jesus. We're saying that his body was given and broken for me, and his life was also given as an example that we could follow as we see how he lived his life. And his blood was shed for us to make a new covenant between us and God. We embrace and we receive that light that was offered to us. And then when we leave the table, we go out to shine that light, to share that light with other people. So think about that in those terms as we take communion today. The other thing is, you know, it's the typical stuff up here, but there's something in addition. There's a basket at the end that has stars in it. So if you'd like, you can take a star word, and I'll just give an example. It's one word, sustenance. Just an invitation to consider how the words you get might be a word that speaks to your life this coming year. Reflect on what that might mean for you. And I'm going to say this. your word means nothing to you, that's fine. Just like find a new word. You know, prayerfully think of maybe a word that God has for you for this year to ponder and to think about what that means for your life. So these are here.